Agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BillDeCine.com/radio, RootRootRadio.com out in San Diego on Long Beach, AltRockRadio.ca up there in Mississauga, Canada, and xrp.co.uk somewhere in the United Kingdom. I don't have a specific city on that one. With me tonight for episode number 488 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show is Adam Fitz. What's up, Adam?
How's it going, Bill?
Not too bad. I think I got all the radio stations in and everything that time.
Amazing.
Except I didn't. 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. That's an important one. I can't remember their call letters, but 107.1 FM. So anyway, so Adam and I have been talking for a little while, and we won't get into details, but it's been a fun conversation.
It has.
So you may get some more of that. While we were off the air, we talked about this. So you'll just have to go with the flow if you're listening. So Adam, clearly your band name is your name. So I can't even ask that default radio station question.
Well, actually, so Adam Fitz is short for Fitzgerald, and Fitzgerald is my mother's maiden name, which is my middle name. And I had made the choice sometime after high school when I went from my band to making a decision that, like, hey, I'm going to start playing or trying to write solo, trying to write material that I would perform under my name. And, you know, I believe that if your name is kind of evergreen, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I was like, what could that name be? And I thought, well, very few people know who Robert Zimmerman is, but a lot of people know who Bob Dylan is. And yep, so, yep. And so I used the Fitz part of my middle name. So that has been since, the late 90s, early 2000s is when I made that choice. And that's when I started kind of like billing myself as that.
So the first question I have, and I kind of know the answer, but you're originally from Chicago.
That's correct.
And now you're playing in the Pittsburgh/Greensburg areas. What brought you here?
Well, I met a girl in Chicago who grew up in the Greensburg-Latrobe area, and now I live in Greensburg-Latrobe.
So
we met.
So it's about a girl.
It's about a girl. We met, dated for a long time, eventually got married, had children. When my daughter was 3 and my son was 3 months old, we packed up and we moved back to Greensburg. I like to say that we retreated to the highlands. Chicago was expensive. We knew that when we were expecting our son, we were starting to make the plans, packing up our stuff in Chicago and making that transition. And then when he was 3 months old, I had finished a school year teaching. My wife had finished a project that she was working on, that she had been committed to for the 2 years prior. And then we came September 1, 2016, we got out here to Greensburg, Pennsylvania. I love Chicago, and I'm born and raised there and lived there for the majority of my life. And but coming here to the Pittsburgh area, like, some, I don't know if it's about the size or like something about the community, like, it lit a fire under me to to just go get busy. You know, and I think I met certain people, but also I think the idea that I came here, I mean, I was approaching 40 already, so I'm like, it's time to get busy. And then I didn't know anybody here. And so I kind of had to get busy meeting people quickly, you know, people that were making music, people that were making art, people that were contributing to the culture in the area.
And that's a perfect segue for another question that I can ask you. How would you compare the two music scenes, Chicago and Pittsburgh?
So I got really lucky, okay, because I came here, and like the second week I was in the area, I had a friend from Chicago, and she was touring, and she played at Mr. Small's Funhouse for the Acoustic Cafe.
Okay.
On Monday nights that they have there. And I went. And I was like, oh, this is an open mic? I'm like, but I can't sign up because it's the thing's full, right? Like, I'm like, but you're touring, but you're going to play this open mic. I was really perplexed by the whole thing. And I was blown away by the community. You know, like, my friend, she played her set. She introduced me to Jesse Prentice, who's one of the people that have been doing Acoustic Cafe for a long time, over a decade. It used to be a club cafe. And it's been at it had just moved to the Funhouse of Mr. Smalls like earlier that year in 2016,
They actually have a new stage for it downstairs, right?
There is a stage downstairs. They do, so they have a cafe in the basement, Mr. Small's Cafe, and they do a Sunday afternoon thing there. And they do some shows down there, but the Acoustic Cafe remains, as far as I understand, in the Fun House, which is on the second floor, the same floor as the balcony of the theater. And they do regular shows up there as well. I went there and I met a couple people and I was like, this is the spot. And Jesse was really kind to me. And so I would go back there and I started seeing the songwriter scene and seeing the variety of people and seeing the way that scene supports each other. Now,
do you know David Hipchin?
I don't know David Hipchin.
He sometimes goes to the Acoustic Cafe and stuff.
Man, I've met lots of friends and acquaintances there, and I've become fans of lots of people that I've seen there, but I probably have been there less than 10 times in the last 3 years, quite honestly, because I live an hour away and it's on a Monday night, you know. But the significance of it was huge for me, you know. So going there, finding that scene like right away, meeting some of those people, and then so luckily of the timing in the world when we moved here that the prevalence of social media and the ability to connect with people before, do research, and then reconnect with people, like follow up with people after meeting them, you know? So like when
that drives the show.
I believe it. But that's how I got this, because you posted something on Facebook and I was like, hey, I'd be down. And you were like, you're signed up. Like, this is the date. Right. So it's like, and that's kind of like what having a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and a day job. It's like, I have enough time at night to cruise that and cross-reference things and do research and be like, oh, these people are playing at this place, so I should try to find a night I can get out to that place. You know what I mean? To check it out. And there's less guessing because, you know, before the connectivity that we have now, we'd just be like, oh, I heard there's this thing at this place on this day. And you show up and maybe the information's right or wrong. And maybe people are there that night or maybe they're not. But like, you can literally like real time be like, oh, that, like, you know, Acoustic Cafe live streams or stuff. I could literally be like, oh, those people are right there right now. You know, like I know exactly where they are. I can go right there and interact with those people. So that the convergence of getting lucky and finding some of these things, because you need a starting point. You know what I mean? Like, when I first got here, I'm like researching just like where are places to play, and like come across like City or Pittsburgh Winery and things like that, and just guessing. But then like once you get in and you're like, oh no, okay, I know that I'd seen that person play, and I know that they're quality. And now who are they interacting with, and where are they playing, and then who are they interacting with, and where are they playing? You know, so that was one.
Playing the networking game.
It is, but like. That's kind of a dirty word, I think. It's true. It's real, but it's a little bit of a dirty word, you know. And it's funny the way that the semantics work, because I've always – what I've said is that I've been really calculated about where I'm going and who I'm seeking out. But that's a dirty word too. And somebody helped me and they're like, no, what you're being is intentional. You're being intentional with your time and your focus.
There you go.
And so like, I think when you use those words, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, I really like this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk. And he talks about how he talked about personal brand and people feel icky. And now he just says, well, if I call it reputation, are you cool with that? Cause it's the same thing. It's just a different word, you know?
I told you off the air about how this show started. And, so you have an idea of the history of this.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, I walk backwards into everything I've done. That wasn't my intention, but it happened and it was cool. And now it keeps going.
and you're affected by your life, right? Like,
that's right.
The experiences you have affect you and they change things. So another experience I had out here in Greensburg is I went to a brick and mortar space. There's a space in downtown Greensburg called Rabbit Hole Records, right?
It's right on Main, right?
Right on Main Street. And they have White Rabbit Cafe. and then underneath Rabbit Hole Records. I'm a record collector. I used to work in a record store. And so I'm like, there's a record store in downtown Greensburg. I'm in. So I like go to the record store, talk to the clerk. You know, he's telling me about some things, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's a cool painting on the wall. He's like, oh, that's by this guy who sometimes works here. This guy's name is Dasher Rocket. I'm like, cool. So I go home and I find that guy on Facebook and I like friend request him and I follow him. And then he posts, hey, I'm bartending tonight at this bar and there's an open mic. Right. Oh, cool. So this guy's hosting the open mic. So, all right, friend request that guy. Who's that guy? You know, send that guy a message. Hey, I saw you doing this open mic. Cool. I'm going to try to come by. Any other cool stuff happening around town? And he's like, here's five open mics that happen. You know, and then it was just like, I'll pick one. I'm free Wednesday. There's one at this place called the Black Rock. And it's like hosted by this guy named Derek Woods. So I find Derek Woods, you know, and I'm like,
I am familiar with Derek.
Yeah. And I message him, hey, I want to come out to your open mic. Do I have to get there at a certain time to sign up? Anything I need to know about? I'm going to come out, whatever. I just moved here from Chicago. He's like, yeah, man, come out, you know, just be there around 8 or 9. People play 5 songs. Well, it's cool. So I show up there and literally that one night in Greensburg at the Black Rock bar, I met probably 8 different musicians that I'm still friends with today. That was, you know, in October of 2016, or, you know, it was like literally like within 2 months of moving here. And then that opened up a whole new thing for me. Cause now I'm like, oh, so these people are playing out here. They're getting paid to play for 3 hours in a bar and they're playing Dylan covers and Beatles and whatever. And then they're throwing in their own. And then sometimes they'll go into Pittsburgh and play a whole set of their original stuff, you know? So try to find that, like, how can I make this economically feasible? You know,
let me throw this out there for you and for the people listening. If you go to buildthescene.com/venues, I have a list of, I don't know, probably 160 venues in southwestern Pennsylvania list.
Wow.
Addresses, contact information, phone numbers, all that stuff.
That's beautiful. That's awesome to have that resource. And I'm glad I know about it now. You know, but like, what I've just like found a person. And then, you know, the coolest thing about right now is that nobody's hiding their schedule because they're promoting their shows. Right. So it's like, if you want to know where somebody's playing, go to their page because they're promoting what they're going to do next. And you could probably find a history of what they just did, you know. And that was it, man. Like, and then I hit the ground running and I was like, Derek's playing 250 shows a year. Like, what can I do in my realm that would be me working as hard as I can in comparison to that with what I have, with the time I have? You know what I mean? And like, I met a guy, this guy, Crawdad Joe Didon. He has a band called Crawdad Joe. And he was like, hey man, you need a PA to play most of these places, but there's a spot down in Harmony, this place called the Central Wine Theater, and they have their own PA. So reach out to them because then you can get going right away. And so that was like the first show that I played where I did 3 hours and I put together a bunch of covers and put some of my originals in there. And that was March of 2017. In 2017, I ended up playing 60 shows. 2018 was about 60 shows. 2019 now is a little bit less, but because I started this video series and so I allocated some of my time that I was gigging out to try to build this online thing.
You can go ahead and point everyone to that so they can check it out.
So this is this series is called For a Song, and you can find it. It's Facebook.com/For a Song Videos. On Instagram, it's @For a Song Videos. And I think episode 54 just came out last weekend. The goal is to do it weekly. And so I try to drop it every Saturday morning. But as you know, scheduling these things is really hard. And,
yes.
And the difference between us having a Skype interview right now and me actually having to be in a space with somebody, because the format of the show is that me and another musician actually play a song together. So I asked a guest to do it. I asked them to pick a cover song or an original of theirs, and then we get together and we play it together. And I film it on my iPhone, and we, you know, it probably takes 4 or 5 takes for us to get a take that we're both pretty happy with. And then after we film it, then I interview them about the song. If it's a cover, hey, why do you like the song? Why'd you pick the song? If it's original, where did the song come from? You know, and then we get into either meaning or craft, or sometimes they're like, yeah, man, I wrote it because my mom, whatever. And then it's like, and then we get into talking about something else. And I usually edit those down to about a 10 minute total thing, you know, 3 or 4 minute song, 5 or 6 minute interview. And those get posted as frequently as I can weekly, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, sometimes on TikTok. I'm trying to do more on LinkedIn, put some content up there. But I'm still figuring that out.
That format is pretty similar to my other show.
Okay.
Which is called Three Questions in a Song.
Nice.
And it's literally three questions in a song. I ask two questions. They tell me about the song. We play the song. And then the third question, the guest from the previous show asks, and they answer that. And then I let them talk about where we can track down their music. And then they ask a question for the next guest.
Oh, cool.
And that's it. It's about a 15-minute show.
Yeah. And you do that in person? Like they come to you?
Nope. Just like this.
Nice.
Occasionally, the one that's going to be released on November 1st was in person. In fact, we sat on the wall in front of my house and recorded it.
That's so cool. Like that's one of the things that's been awesome is how the camaraderie that you build when you play with somebody. Because what I've been doing here as I'm going out and playing these cover gigs or playing original music, I'm playing solo. I've done little things with other people, but as a solo artist, I just didn't have the opportunity to collaborate that I wanted, and also have the need or the reason to consistently learn new material. Right. So now I'm learning a new song basically every week as I try to match and mesh with somebody that oftentimes I've never met other than interacting with online, you know. And sometimes they're buddies. Like, I mean, I've been trying to track Derek down to do one for – he was one of the first people I called. I called three people. I'm like, hey, I'm going to start this thing. I want you to be a guest. And that was October 2018, and Derek and I are still working out dates to this day.
Well, along those lines, the performer on Three Questions in the Song for November 1st is Miss Freddie.
Oh, I did a 4-song with Miss Freddie.
Yeah, she's awesome.
We met up in Gibsonia at Steamworks Creative.
Oh yeah, John Vento.
Yeah,
he owns that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Miss Freddie and I have been trying to do an interview for about 4 years, and she does Leechburg's Pink Day. She performs every year.
Okay.
Which the stage is like right around the corner from my house.
Nice.
And I finally said to her, I'm like, look, here's how we're doing this. And we walked over and sat on the wall in front of my house and I interviewed her out front.
And do you play music at all? Or you just, did she bring her guitarist to accompany her?
Nope. We just play. I edit in an MP3 of one of her recorded tracks.
Oh, cool.
Now, when we did this show live, it was, you know, bands played their originals right here in the living room.
Yeah, you mentioned that you got people in your house.
In the AK Music Scene studio.
Right.
Yeah.
I've done a couple from my garage. I like to try to do them in people's spaces. Like, I like to try to go, like, that's my favorite is when I get to go into people's houses or apartments. Because I feel people are the most comfortable in their own spaces. I feel like some of the best stuff I've gotten has been in that. The other cool thing is when businesses are willing to let us. So like I did one at Rabbit Hole Records with RJ Dietrich from Essential Machine.
Mm-hmm.
I love that those guys are from out here in Greensburg. I was really proud of that one. One with Lindsey Dragan up at Full Pint Wildside down in Lawrenceville. So I actually did one with Jeremy Kaywood, if you know Jeremy, in Mr. Small's Funhouse, or not the Funhouse, in the cafe while it was open. So literally, like, they're dumping buckets of ice and people are walking through and ordering drinks, and we were just standing in the middle of the room with my iPhone on a tripod playing the Mountain Goat song.
I did an interview recently. I wish I remember what band it was off the top of my head, but they were at work.
They were.
And yes, they were at work, and they were doing the interview from the beer cooler.
Love it, dude. Man, I just love the fight in that, you know? It's like, we're going to make this happen by hook or by crook.
I've done there were quite a few back in the day we did from Cat Scratch Studios. There was a band called Scratch at the time, and Cat Scratch Studio was the lead singer's attic.
Nice.
There's a moose, a local moose lodge, a couple, not even a block from here. I've recorded some in their basement.
Man, I just love it. I just the whole way that the arts solidifies the community, and that people are willing to go out of their way to support artistic ventures and cultural ventures, you know, both the people who make the stuff and just the businesses that know that that's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, there's certain people that are like, yeah, man, come here and do it. And like, you know, and maybe they're thinking like, hey, maybe they'll talk about it and maybe a couple people listen and maybe it would be like marketing. But a lot of those people, like, they know that what they're getting put out for is probably going to be more than what they're going to get back for it.
Right.
You know,
but
karmically they're just like, no, this is the right thing. Like support the scene, support the fact that people are doing stuff here, because all these little burgs around here that I've found, like when one thing stops, man, it's detrimental. It's just all too small, you know, like there's not enough people doing stuff. And so like when one of those things goes away, it hurts all of it.
I agree. And it's such the Pittsburgh area, like if you look at Chicago, that's a huge city.
Huge. 6 million.
Pittsburgh, not so much.
About 1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh really is all the suburbs that are around it. And you know, everything here in the music scene interacts. And it took a lot of people in the scene a long time to realize that. But now that they have, things are going pretty well, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I like I said, it's been – I've gotten such great just the community I feel here has been awesome. You know, it's just been so cool to meet people and to feel the camaraderie. And even when there's like healthy competition, I still feel the camaraderie. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so cool. I'm really a fan.
I have witnessed bands from Ohio that have come here for Rock for Life concerts, and like the bands are helping them put their stuff on the stage, and you can just see it in their face. They're like, "What is this?" Like they're not used to that happening. Yeah. Hey, why don't you take a moment and tell me about your track After Party, and we'll play it and take a short break.
Cool. So I tracked we recorded this song called After Party in Chicago, and at the time I had a pretty steady band, and the drummer had a studio, and we cut this tune. The song was written kind of about an experience I had. Gosh, I don't remember the year. Maybe 2007 or 2008. I accompanied this band down to South by Southwest, and just experience South by Southwest kind of from a band perspective, because I did have I was with them, but also I wasn't playing with them. I was kind of supposed to be selling their merch, and and once we got down there, I kind of just found my own way around. Like my wife at the time was my girlfriend, and she was down there with other people, and I just kind of found her and found the band again when I needed a ride home, you know. So I got back and I wrote this song called After Party, just about kind of about the scene and about like being in the band and the setting up, breaking down, that sort of thing. So but the reason I wrote it is at the time they were the guy that was playing guitar with this band was a guy named Mike Lust out of Chicago, and he has a band called Tight Phantoms that's been around for a good bit. And so we were at this party, this after party, on one of the nights we were there, and it was, I can't even remember exactly where it was, but at some point there was people on the roof and they were leaning against like this brick wall that, you know, came up as like a railing, and like something happened where like they literally knocked part of this wall over. and then the party was over, 'cause they're like, okay, it's unsafe, we got to get everyone out of here. And so I had this lyric, and then Mike Lust, he bit the dust and the wall came tumbling after. And that was kind of like, I was writing up to that. And then there's like this kind of outro section that talks about just a little bit about the scene and some people that are cooler than now, and I don't know, like there's part of the South by scene that's status based, if that makes sense. And so that was kind of like some nods to that in there. And but it's basically just about like being in a band and the hustle and how you end up in silly places, I guess.
I'd be a lone star, but not in this state, not wearing this fair, bizarre, confused stare. They shade them from the light. Oh, can you dig it? We bury tall boys under the hot sun and keep it out of reach. And unseen, where you sell your hands just to hold their machines. You lost to the sea on your own. Headed for the party. Yeah, 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 yeah. The after party. I heard a trombone slid out a patch cord. There was a loud buzz. Came from the main board. We loaded in late. Got bumped up to play. I'll mess all over the sloppy weekday. There's your big shot right in your sights now. He speaks of nothing but nets and touchdowns. Yeah. It's been so much time to today. We're one last night when the bar. and we'd go on about nothing. No, nothing.
When I'm dreaming, it comes to life, and I see it out in the light. My feelings, my demons strong, I need it to carry on. I can feel it, I can see it, when I see the sunrise. I can feel it, I can feel your eyes. And I need a sign. I need a sign. Long gone the days when we could sit upon your porch. Never had to think of what to say. Nothing forced. I need a sign. I'll wait for you to come to me like a dream. I look for something every day in between. I miss your hands, I miss your to hear your voice, say to me.
Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 488. If you're just tuning in, with me tonight is Adam Fitz. And
hi, Bill.
He and I have been talking for a long time tonight, both off the air and on the show. Where can people find you at, Adam?
So I'm on all major streaming platforms, thanks to the nice people at CD Baby. Anywhere you stream music, you could also find me on. There's other material that's not on those platforms at Bandcamp. So www.adamfitz.bandcamp.com. There's some cover songs and things like that that I don't have enough downloads for me to get litigation through my Bandcamp, but I'd rather not pay the licensing on for to go on the Spotify's of the world.
Gotcha. So we did a lot of conversational interview in the first segment. Now I'm going to throw some questions at you, and you'll probably feel like you're sitting in my classroom.
Cool.
So last year I was flipping through my fifth grade social studies book, and I came across the page, and there was a picture of this guy who died in like 1958. And I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I'm looking at this picture, and he looked exactly like my college roommate, to the point that I took a picture of it and sent it to my college roommate and asked him if he was a time traveler. And he said, I didn't think so, but damn.
Not yet, but maybe in the future, right?
Yeah. So he saw the likeness too. So the question that I came up with from that story is, if I was flipping through my social studies book and I found Adam Fitz in it, what would it be about? Like, what would the subject of that lesson be?
If you saw a guy who looked like me?
No, if I found you.
If you found me?
Yep.
In the social studies book, what would the lesson about me be?
Mm-hmm.
Contextually, we're looking in the future, right?
Yep.
So, it could be about, an anthropological study of this small, sect of time of independent music in southwestern Pennsylvania that's happening right now. It could be about, people trying to balance, the realities of paying bills with the and having a family with the pursuit of a passion.
I 100% understand that one.
So I think those would be two things that they might be about.
Hey, so the segues are going to be terrible in this section. In this
that's all
second
good.
Segment.
Fire.
So, If there is an apocalyptic event and there's only a handful of people left on the earth, and their job is to repopulate the earth, get a little biblical there, and one Adam Fitz song survives that they're going to listen to as they repopulate the earth, which one of your songs would they be listening to and why?
Man, that's asking like pick a favorite kid, you know?
Right. I told you these questions aren't your normal questions.
No, I like it. I like it. Gosh. So the heart and soul of what I love to do is write ballads and slow songs. That's like my favorite thing. And but it takes a connection to get that commitment from your audience to be willing to go there, you know. I have a song that I wrote right after my daughter was born back in 2013 called Done with a subtitle of The Good We've Left Behind. And that's one I'm like super, it's a piano ballad and I'm super proud of it. We released it as a single last year, maybe within the last 12 months. I put it up on the on my Bandcamp and to Spotify. And that's one I think I would like to stand the test of time. Then again, there's other ones that I've written that aren't recorded yet that might take the place of that one. But as for right now, I'll let it stand as that song.
Okay. If you could sit on a bench for an hour and talk to any musician, living or dead, who would you choose and what would you try to learn from them?
Oh, man. I have five. So right now I'd be torn between like Tom Waits, John Prine, and Randy Newman.
I'm going to ask you another question to let you talk about another one of them.
Okay. So I feel like maybe John Prine, because that's like, I've been telling this anecdote recently about how I had a mixtape when I was a kid that my dad made for me. And the first song on it was a song by John Prine called Please Don't Bury Me, which is about a guy dying and then telling the people who survive him to chop him up and send his body parts all around for people who might need them. And okay, my dad put that on a mixtape.
I was like, wait, your dad did what?
Yeah, it's comical, but it's not, it probably is not a song for like an 8-year-old or whatever. He may be the mix, maybe younger. Yeah. It's probably younger. but John Prine, who's living, is probably one of the reasons that I do what I do today. And so probably him, and I think I'd get straighter answers and straighter, have a better conversation than I would with Tom Waits, who's been like a North Star for me creatively. But it'd be a close call between John Prine and Tom Waits.
All right. So here's your second chance at this. If you could go back in time and follow any musician or band around for a year to learn from, who would you follow?
That's definitely a different question. I appreciate there's a reason there are two questions, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason there's two questions.
Let me tell you where that one came from while you're thinking.
Yeah.
Remember off the air earlier, we were talking about curriculum meetings?
Uh-huh.
So I was at a social studies curriculum meeting, and one of the teachers asked me if I could go back and follow any person in history for a year and not affect what happened in history, who would I follow and where would I go? Mm-hmm. So that's where that question came from.
Oh, man, there's lots of nuance in that. Like, that might have to be like a Bob Dylan. I feel like there was a time where he was very prolific, like maybe in the time around the Basement Tapes. Like that might have just the learning process around, you know, like if you were hanging out with Bob Dylan around the time of that, you'd be hanging out with the guys from the band, mm-hmm. which are, you know what I mean? Like when you think about that, that might be the thing. But if you ask me this question tomorrow, I'd probably have a different answer. That almost seems like a safe answer, but it'd be true nonetheless.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So if you could pick one album that you absolutely love and erase it from your memory so that you could hear it again for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Which album would you want to do that with?
That would probably be a Randy Newman record. Like, cause there's like these twists and turns in it that once you get are masterfully done. But like once you get the joke, you never get that surprise again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the twist of the first time. So maybe like Sail Away by Randy Newman, or Good Old Boys, one of those records probably by Randy Newman.
Okay. If you were on tour and I tagged along and we're going from city to city, what would the soundtrack of our trip be in between cities?
Well, right now I'm like whole hog in on some podcasts. So they help me like feel like I'm growing my knowledge base and intrigue me, and I feel like time passes faster that way. When it comes to music, and it's like I, as someone who came of age in the 90s, I have a really big affinity for like emo-y pop punk sort of stuff. So like the first Alkaline Trio record. There's a Saves the Day record that I love called Through Being Cool. things that that's the stuff I love to drive to. You know, it's upbeat, and melodic. So that, but, it would be a mixed bag for sure, because I kind of have records that I've loved for a long time at that all kind of get folded in. So across genre, I can't speak. It would be pretty broad.
Oh, that's kind of what I'm looking for, because, you know, what you're really telling me is who's influenced you as a musician.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the I love CeeLo Green. So like he put out a record called CeeLo Green is the Soul Machine that I adore. There's a band from the 90s that were out in LA called Possum Dixon. And they had like one single in the 90s that was a radio single. And they used to play it on Q101 in Chicago. And I got into that song and it hooked me. And I own their whole catalog now. Like, the second record was produced by Rick Ocasek from the Cars. And it was those records mean a lot to me. And I also feel like I'm championing something that has pretty much been forgotten by time. You know, like, it's cool when the band that you love gets more popular, but it's like, it's interesting when you hold on to a band that you love that is still out of vogue, that never got to that next thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So you're bringing up the 90s is perfect, because I have this question. A while ago, I read an article about the 20 worst 90s bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to make you name 20, but if you had to name two or three bands from the 90s that you thought were the absolute worst, who would you put on that list?
Man, that's hard to contextualize, because my tastes. No, me allowing myself to like respect people for the work has changed, where I used to say like, oh, that's garbage. And now I'm like, no, man, they were doing their job. They were making a living, whatever. So what I would say is, like, even though I like some of the songs on it, what I'm thinking right now is when I worked in a record store from 2005 to 2008 or something like that, there was this stack of CDs that would come in from everybody to sell. And it was always like the Hootie and the Blowfish record and the Wallflowers record. And what else was in there? Like maybe the Reality Bites soundtrack or something like that, you know? And none of those things are terrible, but that's kind of like what I'm thinking about. Blues Traveler 4 was always in that stack. It just was. REM's Monster was always in that stack. And none of those are bad records. I would have to say, like, so the stuff that I think might be the most challenging for me would be the stuff that Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder inspired, but didn't reach the same way. So the Nickelbacks, the Creeds, those sort of like manly things, you know what I'm talking about? Like the stuff like there was no geekiness in it. It was designed to be for like manly men to feel manly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So,
I'd say that would be the genre that,
Creed and Nickelback, they have taken a beating over the years. But I kind of like them.
Dude, that's great. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I try not to judge, because they were just like, they had a dream and they were making music, you know, like that's right. Great for them.
Like, I wouldn't say they're my favorite bands in the world, but
yeah.
But, you know, like Arms Wide Open, I love that song.
Man, do you ever see this comedy bit about this guy talking about Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
No, but I want to meet Guy.
Dude, you got to look it up. There's this video. It was circulating a lot maybe a year or so ago, where this guy's like, man, what the hell has Guy Fieri ever done to anybody to piss him off? Because all he does is support local businesses. Like, he's literally just like going out there doing commercials, and he gets this bad rap. And he actually transitions then, I think, into talking about how Nickelback gets a bad rap too. But I love when people champion people. Like, there's Whipping Boys, you know what I mean? Cultural Whipping Boys.
Yep.
And like, and I love when people champion them. And so that's a hard question for me to answer, because there's like that clickbait, like 10 worst albums by this band when you're
I clicked on one of those.
Why can't it be the 10 best band or the 10 most underrated bands? Why does it be the 10 most overrated bands? Because that gets people's blood flowing and then they click and then somebody makes 5 cents on an ad, right?
Yep. But I will say, like, Nickelback, most of their songs sound the same to me.
I think that's why they
took the beating.
The sin is like, you guys did one thing and you did it over and over. But somebody, my old bass player was just like, oh, I'm going to play that Wallflowers bass line. And I'm like, I like those songs are great. But I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, and I was like, oh, wait, that is like all their singles were that was the rhythm. That was like, good for you guys, you know. But how the hell do you beat up Bob Dylan's son? Like, how do you do that? How do you interact in the world with that? I don't know how.
If you could open for any internationally touring band, who would you open for and where? And it could be living or dead, because, you know, we've been going back in time this whole segment.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm thinking about, like, right now, what's, like, setting me on fire. And, like, I'd have to say, like Jason Isbell would be, like, probably one of the dudes. There's probably somebody else in that realm that I'd want to do it with equally as much. But I'd probably, like, Jason Isbell, like, Red Rocks or the Gorge. The Gorge out in Washington State, like one of those like epic amphitheaters. I cracked into Jason Isbell about a year or two ago, and it's been a key for me. something about his songs that are easy but not simple. So they're easy to play, but they add up to something that's complex in a beautiful way.
This has been episode number 488 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. I want to thank Adam for coming on.
Thanks, Bill, man. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. And I do want to mention the upcoming bands. Next week we have Animus. On November 15th we have Skies of Terra. November 22nd from Philadelphia, Mr. Lisp. On the 29th of November, The Rust Project. December 6th, Scarlet Sky. And on December 13th, The Shadow Event. If you would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to drop me an email at bill@parockshow or bill@buildthescene.com. And you can find us at buildthescene.com on Facebook. Adam, they can find you where?
You can find me on all the streaming platforms at Adam Fitz, F-I-T-Z, short for Fitzgerald. And you can find me on Bandcamp, adamfitz.bandcamp.com. Or you can find some of my collaboration videos under For a Song Videos.